just a moment here, I do want to pull in a state senator from the great state of Minnesota, District 4, State Senator Rob Kupak, because, well, a week ago today on the Afternoons Lab program that I typically host on the eastern side of the News of Views network here, we had Senator Kupak on because there was all this tension about land. Understandably so, I get it. But it was a proposal that was being worked out in that chamber out in St. Paul about trying to get 155,000 acres of land back to the White Earth Nation. And it's caused a, well, a bit of a controversy for those area residents, for those businesses, those resorts, those cabin owners. And last week, Senator Kupak made his position abundantly clear. Well, I've been hearing all the rumors about this, that, the other thing, and who's changing opinions. In fact, it caused the need for a statement to come out, and I have that in my hand. But let's get to State Senator Rob Kupak so we can just hear it straight from him. Senator, welcome back to News and Views. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Tyler. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Getting the morning shift today, I'm just fine with that. But I'm glad you're able to join us here and set the record straight on a couple of things. I want to talk about another proposal you've been working on, but I want to start with this potential transfer that has been tabled out in the state Senate. Give us the latest on this, because this has been those moments of contention that I think are fabricated, to be honest with you. But I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Sure. So the short answer is nothing has changed. So it was a week ago. There was a hearing in the Environment Committee. I am not on that committee, but there are, I have a couple of other colleagues who are and have similar concerns about the bill that I had. And I think as the hearing went on, you know, it became probably apparent that it probably did not have the votes to pass that committee. So it got tabled. And, you know, myself and Senator Hochschild, who's up in the Arrowhead of Minnesota, we both have concerns about the bill. And we signaled to, you know, we let the author know and we signaled to leadership that we have some concerns about this bill. And as it is, we do not. We aren't able to support it. So it would need some big changes, you know, to get anywhere close to what we want to do. So with that, it got tabled. Mm-hmm. And that's where it sat. And nothing has happened. Nothing's come off the table. Had a meeting, a town hall over Detroit Lakes last Saturday, came out, you know, said right out at the get-go, because about half the people there were for, you know, were here to hear about this issue, and we had a great conversation, and, you know, said, I am firmly against it. Well, as politics goes, you know how it is, somebody decided in the middle of the week, for whatever reason, you know, they were going to send around an email that said we had flip-flopped on that issue, and we were both just, you know, kind of called Senator Hochschild. We go, have you seen this? And he's like, I have no idea where this is coming from, because nothing had changed. We had made no statements. You know, we just buried ourselves in the work of the week. And I don't know. It's just, it's the way people play politics. There is this, in this always disturbs me, is this, like, it has to be the politics of outrage and has to stir the pot. Even when the pot is like simmered, settled, taken off the stove, it's like, let's bring it back and stir it up, even though nothing's going on. Yeah. So it's disturbing when you're trying to get actual work done to have to, you know, deal with people spreading rumors.
Well, and I think you captured it perfectly right there, is this politics of outrage. Some people are addicted to anger, but what happens is when people get angry, they donate. They send resources to people, and in politics, it's always the opposition. So when I look at the fact that they targeted you and Senator Grant Hochschild, both DFL state senators, well, it's because they, and I think they're wrong in thinking this, are saying, okay, those are the targets in the thin majority that they have that we want to pursue. And I think they're ill-advised to do that. But I have no doubt in my mind, Senator, that's exactly what the motivation is behind using you two individuals to say that you flip-flopped when you did no such thing.
Sure. And I think also part of it, because I want to give a little credit to one of my Republican colleagues, Senator Green, who represents that area. He actually, to his credit, he sent out a little email earlier in the week and said, you know, I heard at Senator Kupek's town hall meeting. He was a firm no on this issue. Send him a thank you note for supporting us. And I thought, wow, that is a really nice, you know, extra step of a little bit of bipartisanship. And clearly that must have rankled somebody the wrong way. Like, well, we can't give any credit to somebody across the aisle, right? For doing something, agreeing with us. So I don't know if that was the case or what, but it's just frustrating.
No, I think it's important that you do highlight that though, because we always talk about the things that gets people mad. And there's something in that chamber still, and the chambers across, you know, I mean, legislative bodies, where there are moments like this that, hey, I get it, we're from opposite parties, but you can acknowledge a good thing or a good position on a bill and just stop being partisan about it. But did this trigger a bunch of phone calls for you? Did you get a bunch of emails of people mad at you on something that wasn't even true?
Emails, phone calls. I got a phone call from Josh Duhamel. Because he's got a cabin out there. I'm like, really? I'm going to talk to Josh Duhamel tonight about this. So it's just like, it's surreal. Yes, and all these county commissioners who I'd had great, you know, and they were really nice. And they're like, Rob, you know, they sent email like, Rob, is this true? Because, you know, our conversations, you seem pretty firm against this. And, you know, but it's also, you know, there's people have busy lives, you know, the commissioners are zoned in, but, you know, people have busy lives. Maybe they're only half listening. And so, you know, this is the half the information they get one time is that, oh, Kupek flipped on it. And then they never hear the whole story. Mm-hmm. So I think that's some of the goal. It's like, well, we'll catch those people that are only half listening, and maybe this is the half they hear.
Well, and to that point, I mean, you haven't changed 1 week's time. I mean, you and I were visiting on my show on the Eastern side of News and Views here, and you declared quite pointedly that, no, this is the wrong process for this. I do have messages coming in for you, Senator. I want asking, who introduced the bill into committee? Do you recall who is the author of this bill?
Sure. It's Senator Mary Kunish. She is then New Brighton, which is a suburb of the Twin Cities, but she is of Native American descent. And, you know, there are things that the tribes, you know, want to see in the legislature, and she carries a lot of them for the tribes. You know, they go to her. There aren't a whole lot of, you know, indigenous people in the Senate, and, you know, she's one that they can go to. She deals with that. So that's why. She's actually originally from North Dakota, and she has family up here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. So, you know, she has some connection to the area. It's not like she's, like, completely not connected, but she's the one that brought the bill forward.
Well, I'm glad that the process, like I said, that I even watching from afar did not look like it. And I don't mean to throw her under the bus, but the process of going down and visiting with those individuals that have the lake cabins, that have the resorts, that have this place that they call home, it just, the process itself didn't look at face value to be one that was well thought out, I guess is the way I'm trying to politely put it, Senator.
Right. And you know, where this is like typical of a lot of, you know, government things. It needs to start with a conversation with people at the ground level, because people get suspicious when something comes out of nowhere at them. And, you know, start at the ground level, have a conversation. You know, maybe not everybody's going to get what they want, but, you know, in the end, you probably get something that's better. And so there needs to be, you know, and there's sadly, there is not a lot of dialogue between, you know, the White Earth Nation and the county governments. It goes both ways. But, you know, hopefully, you know, we're going to start some dialogue around this and have a discussion to understand their desires and to understand, you know, the issues that people have with it.
Well, and I think dialogue is very important in this conversation, knowing that you got phone calls saying, you know, hey, where are you at on this? And people that are willing to do that and quite frankly, call into News and Views here. And in fact, Senator, I want to get a guest who has called in. Josh Duhamel, welcome to News and Views. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm in New Mexico at the moment, but I had to call in and thank Senator Kupek for having the courage to stand up against this thing, because as you're talking about at this moment, this thing was not fully thought out. And I think that that's what's really freaking people out, is that I don't think they really considered those who have, you know, places up there, who have small businesses, farmers, all those people that would be greatly affected by this. I mean, I feel like this thing could devastate the area. You know, we're getting word that, you know, Chairman Fairbanks wants to work with everybody and wants nothing to change. But We don't know if that's going to happen, you know, if the next guy comes into power. What are they going to do? We just need to know that this thing is going to remain open so that we can all enjoy it and that we can access our properties. And I think that Senator Kupek has been, you know, an advocate for that. He's had nothing but common sense throughout this thing. And I think that that's what we appreciate more than anything. It's just somebody who looks at this thing from a 360-degree angle and says, you know what, this isn't right. This isn't ready. There's a lot that needs to be ironed out before we sign anything here. And I think that they did. They tried to jam this thing through without really considering everybody. So I want to thank you, Senator Kupek. You are a stand-up dude, and I just that's it for me.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, very Josh, I think you're spot on when you talk about one – the fact that common sense, I mean, you're a North Dakota guy, Minnesota. I mean, we're all kind of in that same bubble where, look, you go down the street, you visit with the person before you say, look what we're going to do to you. How about we come together and say, what's going to work for everybody as best we can here?
Yeah.
I think that was missing this step here, Josh.
Yeah, and I think I think it's important to know, too, that we've had a really peaceful and harmonic tip with the tribe up there, and I have nothing against them, and I can appreciate their perspective on this thing. I really can. But we also have to consider those who have property out there, who have farmland, who have small businesses, because this would really, really affect them too. So, you know, I don't want this to feel like we're against the tribe in any way, because we're not. We want to keep the peace. And it's been nothing but that for so long. And this bill seems to be driving a wedge between the tribe and the private landowners up there and the private business owners. So there's no reason for that. There's no reason to drive a wedge between us and to cause conflict, because there was none before that. So anyway, peace and love, man. I just want that. I just want to. This is my favorite place in the world to go visit. I would rather be there than anywhere else in the world. And suddenly this thing has come up and it feels like that's all in jeopardy. And I just want to make sure that we're being considered in this thing.
Josh, anything before we let you go? Yeah, I appreciate you calling on in. Do you say you're in New Mexico right now?
I am. I'm on my way to work.
Well, very good. Hey, thanks for bringing news and views with you down to New Mexico, and we'll be sure to get this thing to take care of. But thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Senator Kupek. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Josh Dumal, ladies and gentlemen, calling on in here to news and views. Senator, do you have more time for me?
I do.
There's one question left that I want you to answer on this before I talk about another bill you've been working on. Was there something that sparked this? I mean, when you have Josh coming on here just saying, you know, this was really just put in our lap. And I think that's how I've been viewing this, too. Did the state senator, albeit with her background, did somebody bring this? Or was it, hey, there's something I want to do for a legacy? What drove this to become a bill?
You know, I think it was, you know, I don't know if it was a desire for the tribe. You know, I think they thought, you know, it's this moment where, you know, the Democrats, which, you know, have for the most part, you know, been fairly, you know, receptive to a lot of the proposals that the tribe has brought forward. I think, you know, they thought, well, they have this moment where, you know, we have all three, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governorship. Let's bring this forward now. But so it was maybe just a little rushed. That could be the thinking behind it. Nobody's really explained like why this was like, we need this right now. Nobody's ever come to me with that reason. That's just speculation on my part.
Well, and to be fair to you, you didn't sponsor the bill. So that wasn't a fair question for me to ask. I just didn't know if you had heard any rumblings as to why, because it just.
No, that's fair, because, you know, people do come and say, you know, here's why we think we need this. But, you know, I know they have a desire, you know, to get, you know, as much of their original reservation back. So, and I understand that desire. So, you know, I think that's where it comes from.
Very good. Senator, I need to ask you when we come back here on News and Views about the rail bill that you've been working on. On the North Dakota side, when I was in the state Senate, I actually worked on a rail bill here on state inspection. So I'm very curious what you got working on the Minnesota side. You got a little bit more time for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. State Senator Rob Kupek, District 4. I'm Tyler Axtus, filling in for Joel Heidkamp here on News and Views. I want to bring this up because you've been rocking the train songs, because I've been wanting to visit with State Senator Rob Kupek about a railroad bill that he's had on. Senator Kupek, but you know what? The word's gotten out, and I think it says a lot about your approach to being accessible. You know, when you mention, you know, Josh Duhamel, and he calls in saying, hey, thanks for visiting. And I've got another call for you that I want to get on. And then, of course, we just lost Senator Kupick. David, you're on News and Views. We'll try to get Senator Kupick on. But what would you like to relay to him?
I just want to relay to him that I appreciate him sticking to his word and on the whole White Earth land transfer deal and really helping out the county in that area by sticking to his word.
Well, I think David, I think you're onto something. I think it seems like over the last decade or so, we always just have that, okay, they're going to go with whatever the majority leadership wants. And I think I've been following Rob Kupick's career now long enough to know that he's not that guy, that, you know, he will listen to people with differing views on this, that, and every other thing and come to some form of an agreement that people can at least understand.
And that's true. That's after really getting to visit with him over the last couple of weeks here, and I guess truly getting to kind of know him a little bit better down at the Capitol and stuff. I would agree. He will look at the whole project, not just the bits and pieces of it.
Well, Senator Kupick, I know you heard part of that, but David called in and wanted to thank you as well, Senator.
Okay, well, thanks for that, David. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. David, thanks for the phone call. And Senator, I could go through all these text messages as well at 35270 saying, look, thanks for what you're doing on this. But I wanted to visit with you about a rail inspection program, a railroad bill that you had been introducing out in St. Paul. You know, I'm looking at what you've got here when it just comes to making sure that it's safe, that it makes sense. And I've got a minute left. Do you have more time after the 10 o'clock hour?
Oh, I don't know. I'm in. Okay. I have a Health and Human Services committee, and I've got an EMS bill coming up that I've got to be on.
That's so more important. I've that's got more an amendment to it. Visiting with me, but just briefly, is this bill going to pass or not, Senator?
I think so. Went through transportation. We've got a couple of more hurdles. It deals with train length and also with some railside detectors. I think it's good legislation. Some of it comes out of what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. So I think, you know, we can piggyback on what they've learned there. We don't want anything like that happening here. So absolutely. I think, you know, we can move forward on that.
Senator, I took way more of your time than I asked for this morning, but certainly people were listening and they wanted to thank you for your approach to this. You take care until we chat again next time, all right?
All right. Sounds good, Tyler. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you bet. State Senator Rob Kupick, District 4 in the great state of Minnesota. I'm Tyler Axis, filling in for Joel Heidkamp, who will be back on Monday. If you're on the eastern side of the News and Views Radio Network, I'm not on After News Live today. Danny Cray filling in, but I'll be back on my show on Monday as well. You know, there's a saying about the, you know, whiskeys for drinking, waters for fighting. It's the same thing when it comes to land, too. It's not a cute saying about it, but it does bring out passion. It brings out emotion in these types of conversations, and I completely understand it. I really do. That's why I think it is so important, if you're going to broach something like this, to do it the right way. You know, I think about some of the other conversations that go on and different infrastructure bills, right? About eminent domain and the fear of use for that. I know that when it comes to, say, the carbon capture pipeline, that's been one of those things that we've been told isn't going to happen, and then it might be, in fact, necessary if we get to X percent that have voluntarily agreed. All those things. It's your property. It's your land. I understand it. That's why I think one thing that we've pride ourselves on across the upper Midwest is driving down that gravel road, knocking on the door, and having the conversation before anything is introduced, certainly in legislation that would force by the hand of the state government saying, well, this is what's going to happen. You know, I've had other examples on the North Dakota side about this as well, where you would have, say, the State Commerce Department come out, have a press release, say, here you go. Aren't you happy we did this? And then it turns out neighbors aren't. I mean, we can go north of Grand Forks in the Fufeng project where, you know, it was brought in like, hey, this would be a great deal. And then, well, the neighbors said, not really. What are you doing here? Same thing can go out by Williston with some of the cryptocurrency buildings out there where you're seeing now energy rates spiking for those that have called that area home forever. You know, that approach of here's the press release, here's the legislation, here's the signed agreement that the state has, regardless of what side of this river you're listening to me on, is not the right approach to do it. You go there, You have the uncomfortable conversations, and I guarantee they're not comfortable most of the time because of, like I said, that passion, and it's intense about this is my land. You know, this is something I hold dear. I mean, you just heard from North Dakota native Josh Dumel call in saying that this is his favorite place, around. So you have that emotional attachment to it, and when you hear that, that might be ripped away from you without your consent. I get it. That's why I'm glad that having the conversation and taking the time to do so like Senator Rob Kupak did has kind of simmered down some of the frustration, because this was just kind of put on people's laps, and I think that is why there is such anger, is the bottom line here, on it. 237-594. It is the Laney studio line. I'm going to connect with Jim. Jim, thanks for calling News and Views.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Good. Okay, so I think there's some misconceptions out there that land up on the White Earth Reservation, the land that's the state forest and everything, were somehow the treaty was broken and this land was taken from the members of the Ojibwe tribe up there. That's not the case. That land was divided up, oh my gosh, well over a century ago, if not more. Native Americans owned their own portions of the land there, and many of them sold that land off to timber companies and for fair prices. I know an area up there, it was about 80 acres or so, that where I have a place that's kind of been that same area, part of that parcel back in 1906, sold for about $120,000 in today's equivalent money. Well, that's about what 80 acres is going to cost you in Minnesota forest land anyway, is about $120,000. So it wasn't like it was unfairly, they were taking advantage of this aspect as far as money and that goes. And what happened after that was, once the timber companies got done doing their logging and the land was no longer productive, they didn't want to pay taxes on it anymore. They let it go back to the state. They said it got tax forfeited. And that's how the state ends up owning most of that land. So I understand it's on the reservation, but it's like saying, okay, say if I'm off the reservation and I own a parcel of land and I decide not to pay my taxes on it and the state takes it, do I have the right to come back and just say, hey, I'll pass the bill and I want my land back?
Yeah.
I want my land back.
Good, yeah, I mean, good to know somebody that knows somebody, right?
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, fine, work with them, figure out a way to, if they want a little bit more jurisdiction or whatever it is up there, but you can't just come and take the land back after it was sold. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Jim, I think you're spot on. I think that's where a lot of people listening right now are nodding their heads too. You can't force this upon us. When it comes to negotiations, when it comes to, I think looking back at the relationship, quite frankly, between a state, the feds, and our tribal neighbors, I mean, the tensions that have been there are understood. And I mean, the way I read into this piece of legislation, and in fact, you can take it straight from State Senator Mary Kunish on some of this, that it is in essence a reparation, is what she said in a quote here. But what makes a difference is that these are tribal lands already designated by the federal government, by the state government. That in Minnesota alone right now, and I know you can make an argument that it's completely unrelated and you would be well on a good footing here, but they just went through a process of changing their flag, for example. And I know the outrage that had trickled out through that, but it's about being aware and acknowledging that somewhere along the way, the relationship between our neighbors is not, I don't know if settle is the right word, but it's ongoing. And understanding some of what you just heard from Jim, that there is a process to this that sets this apart from what I think others might assume it to be, that this is, we were forced, it was taken, all this. The history, I think, plays a very vital role in knowing where we are now, where people from each side of this are going to come at it with, saying, my ancestors on this side, mine on this side, here's the agreement, all that. It's contractual, it's emotional, and the emotion really, I think, drives a lot of people's view on it. I mean, that's what you boil it down to, is a history of, okay, I have this lake cabin here, I have this resort here, and I think what I've heard throughout the concerns on this is we can have a neighborly agreement here, but the fear of leadership changes. And that's an understood fear, regardless if you're listening to me in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, or up in Canada. From one administration to the next, you don't know the approach to. And with these type of agreements, you know, do you adhere to it? Is it written in a way that would force a mutual agreement beyond who signed it right now? It is something that I think is on the back of a lot of people's minds here. A lot of that could be settled before you ever introduce a piece of legislation. You get the input, you get the investment from those directly impacted, and that was not done here. That is why people were taken aback, I believe, and why they're looking at this with more concern and anger than what would have otherwise been had, I think, the proper discourse started at the front and instead of being forced upon on the back. And my fear in all this is that this moment and these type of tensions linger and they go beyond just the next legislative session in Minnesota, because now it's in the back of people's minds. It's who here wants this? Who here asked for this? Did anybody? Or was this a state senator from, you know, a suburb of St. Paul that decided to stick their nose into this and then handle it horribly? But that local aspect, I hope, does not linger. That neighbors can be neighbors like they had been, by the sounds of it, prior to this very heated moment. Only time's going to tell that. I'm Tyler Axtidis, filling in for Joel Heidkamp. Abby Miller, our producer. I'm going to get back to the phone lines. Todd has been very patiently waiting to join the conversation. Todd, I appreciate your patience. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm a businessman in Detroit Lakes and a recreational enthusiast down here, and I've been pretty involved in this. Me and all my friends, our sheriff, and just many people in the community. And I guess I want to side with Josh and just say on behalf of all of us, we just want to say a big thank you, you know, from the people in Becker County, Mahnomen County, Clearwater County. Just say a big thanks to Rob Kupak for keeping his word. Yeah. That's a big thing in life.
It is.
Next. Yeah. Yeah, it really, really is. And I think people just need to be thankful that he's on our side.
I've gotten to know Rob now. I've been doing radio here on the home base of News and Views, KFGO, for 6 years. I've gotten to know him. As he was a meteorologist, he'd fill in every now and then when Tutaw Tom was away. But certainly watching him now as a state senator, he sets that model that I think we want all of elected leaders to be like, saying, look, we might disagree, but at least we're going to have the conversation. And I'm going to listen instead of talking to you. And I think that just says so much about him.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, I mean, he returns text messages, he returns emails, he talks to us on the phone. He just takes the time to do what he's supposed to do. But a couple other things I just want to point out here. We're talking about a lot of land here, okay? Yeah. We're not talking about a few snowmobile trails or a few four-wheeler trails. We're talking about 155,000 acres. It's roughly 250 square miles, okay? Mm-hmm. This is 2.5 times the size of Minneapolis-St. Paul.
That's a big footprint, okay? Todd. A huge footprint.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. And the last thing I really want to say, I don't want to hog up all your time here, but, you know, I want to say that we've all been recreating on this land for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I myself, I have a lot of Native Americans that are my friends. I have employees that are Native Americans, and I respect them. And I respect them when I'm on their property and on their land up there. And we all need to get along. And regardless of our skin color, our race, our religion, we should all be able to use that land up there. We can all share it together.
Todd, let me ask you two questions here. Because what you just said, what you closed there, is what I'm worried about. That this now, hey, we're throwing this legislation in, and it's going to cause some tension between what you just said. Right, you're going to have some tribal neighbors and some other people of Detroit Lakes elsewhere that are now second-guessing or hesitant because, well, who is behind this? Are you worried about that as somebody who calls it home?
Well, yeah, I don't know who is behind this. You know, some politicians from Minneapolis, St. Paul or whatever, and they're making decisions for us around here. Yeah. I don't think that's right, and I don't think it's right that this thing came in like a stealth bomber, like totally – we didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what was so damn dumb about this, right? I mean, to have it found out that, hey, there's a bill that was introduced, come on. That's no way to lead, no way to do this. Todd, I got one more question. You're in the recreation business. It's been a mild winter. Has it impacted you business-wise? Have you seen a slowdown, or are you not so much on the winter recreation?
You know, I don't know about that. We deal more in summer recreational things, but you know, I think people are pretty revved up for that ice to go out. If we're not going to have winter and we're not going to have snow, let's see winter go away. You know, and I think the ice down by Fergus Falls and Alexandria and stuff is kind of going out right now, and I think we'll probably see it out in this area, you know, in a week or so anyway down the road. And I think everybody's anxious for that. Let's bring on summer and have fun.
Count me in. Last winter took it out of me when we were in April and we got another 16 inches of snow. But one of my colleagues here, Derek Hansen, host of Couch Potato Radio, said he was driving around your neck of the woods, saw on one stretch somebody sitting on that bucket ice fishing, and just farther on up the road somebody was golfing. So it's turning around pretty quick. Yeah, Todd, I got to let you go. I got to get caught up with news, but thanks for calling in and lending some local perspective to this as well. I get it, ladies and gentlemen. I get the tensions. I really do. And the thing that should frustrate you is it could have been avoided. Is it going to linger? That's something that we're going to continue to follow along on Afternoons Live, certainly. That's where I'm usually hosting here on the News and Views Radio Network, KFGO. I'm Tyler Axinus. Final half hour of News and Views is next.